That was Sandra Moran performing the poem Mujer, or Woman, recently in Antigonish, Nova Scotia. Sandra is an advocate for LGBTQ, Indigenous, and women's rights, a talented musician, and the first feminist and openly gay member of Congress to be elected in Guatemala. My name is Stacey Gomez with Breaking the Silence Maritimes Guatemala Solidarity Network, or BTS for short. As part of a BTS speaking tour throughout the Maritimes, Sandra visited Tatamagouche, Antigonish, Halifax, Moncton, and Charlottetown from June 15th to 23rd. In each city, she premiered a short documentary called In My Own Voice, which weaves her own history with that of Guatemala. She first visited the Maritimes 30 years ago as a member of the revolutionary musical group Kin Lalat, which sought to foster solidarity with Guatemala internationally. On Sunday, June 24th, as Sandra prepared to head back to Guatemala, I had the chance to speak with her. Here's the interview. Can you share some of the political context in Guatemala for those who may not be familiar?
Yes, thank you. Well, we had an armed conflict during 36 years. And that ended in 1996. We had peace agreements. And then we felt that that was a new tool for the social movements to get organized around the peace accords and to try to push that those can be accomplished. Around 2000, we discovered that we came into the conclusion that the government who signed the peace accords didn't want really to accomplish the peace accords. They really wanted to open the country to do business, and they have done it through the years. And we have NAFTA, we have all these agreements with mining companies and these extractivist model that is not good for us as country and for us as people. Then the resistance restarted in Guatemala against those kind of projects, because people discovering that the Guatemalan government through the year they were given permission, and they didn't know about it, or they knew but they didn't exactly have the real information, and they felt that that is going to affect their water and their land, and they already have the experience of the people in San Marcos, one of the big mining projects, that we can see how they do the work. Then from that, the communities and resisting started working and defending their land. And then indigenous people restart the process of reorganizing themselves as nations, and not just in the social movements, but as a nation, as a people who wanted to recover their own governance structures. And Guatemala is a country where the indigenous people, the Mayan people, is the majority of the population, but also is very alive. But to recover the way that they were organizing before is very important, and it's new now, and it's getting bigger. And we as women, feminists, we have been been making alliance with different movements at the national level. And we also have been discussing among ourselves and defining the feminisms that are in Guatemala. It's not just one feminism, it's different feminisms. And that has been very important for us to see, to discover, and to acknowledge that there are differences between us, but we can build a movement from there. Mm-hmm. Then, anyway, we have been for the last 10 years, we have been building alliance, discussing what we are building in our country, what we want to build, and we continue with the struggles against corruption that is very big now, and the struggles against impunity that also are connected with the corruption, and also defending the land that also are connected with the corruption. Then those are the ones who now are the big battles in Guatemala, and now we have a new people that is youth that is organized that have been organized since 2015, very strong, and I think we also have citizens that care about what's going on in their territory, in the local, regional, and national level.
How did you decide to go into office after so many years of being in social movements?
It was exactly because in 2015, the way that we understood the moment that we were living on was calling us to open other space or to participate in another way. And I was invited by a political party, Convergencia, to be as a candidate, and I wasn't part of the political party. I had friends there, but I wasn't part, and they decided that was the moment to invite people from the social movements, and they invite us, Leocadio from the Campesino movement, myself with for the indigenous, for the women's movement, and both of us also in relationship with the indigenous movement, but also there were people from the different part of the country as Mayan people as candidates. Anyway, that was the beginning of this path, and I was elected. That probably was the moment to do it because I run as a candidate, and people was looking for something new, something different, and then we were elected because of that.
Mm-hmm. So you're the first openly lesbian member of Congress, and you advocate a lot for the rights of LGBTQ communities, along with other communities. Can you talk about the reality of LGBTQ communities in Guatemala today?
Yes, I wasn't in the closet, but I wasn't as public as I am now. And the first thing that I decided to do is to go public. And I did it during the campaign, but I was bigger after I win. And because I knew that they are going to use it against me. Then I decided to do it, and also I decided that I have a commitment with the LGBTQ community to open doors for them, for us, and to represent also the community, and to be with them write laws that can talk about their rights. Then I've been doing it, and I present two laws about trying to prevent the violence that the communities live. There's a lot of violence, a lot of homophobia, transphobia, lesbophobia that affect the life and the dignity and the rights of those people. And but I feel that also they feel that finally they have someone to talk with that can represent them, and it's the first time ever that the issues of the LGBTQ community are discussing in Guatemala and in the level of the Congress. No, it's the first time, and also I am working with the Human Rights Commission in the executive, and to have a public policy for the LGBT community. And that public policy talks about the rights for education, health, and work, and probably people can say why and how those things are not there in Guatemala. But yeah, that's true. That's why we need to work in that, because the majority of the people still live in the closet. Then the LGBT community and movement is not so big. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is, like, other social movements recognize it as part of the social movement. And that has been probably for the last 15 years, and that's very good.
Mm-hmm. What do you see as the relationship between music and political change?
Well, for me, it has been my way of communicating with people. Like, I like music. I learn how to do it, and I feel that it's a powerful tool to communicate. And I was part of Kin Lalat. Actually, I started in Mexico and with another group called Katinamit. Then in 86, I joined Kin Lalat, and that's why I came here. When I went back to Guatemala, I went back by myself, and then I decided to start doing the work that I'm doing now, poetry and drum, because I wanted to continue somehow, and I discovered myself that I can. That's one way to do it, because, like, I don't sing a lot. I like it, but I think my work is better by, like, a spoken word, and with the relationship with the drum is very big. Then I start developing that. That kind of work, and I like it, and I in my own voice is the name of the film, but also it's the name of my CD, and it's the name of, it's really the decision that I took, no, in my own voice. And I've been doing it since 1995 in that way. Then I start doing music as part of my revolutionary commitment in 82.
Thank you. So you participated in the blanket exercise recently, and also had the chance to visit the treaty camp resisting Alton Gas. So I wanted to hear your thoughts about how you see the situation in Guatemala as compared to here in terms of indigenous rights.
Well, I think that I feel that the world is changing in the way that the social movements and communities are finally listening to the voice of the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. They have been talking all the time. They have been telling us all the time. Mm-hmm. They have been calling us all the time. But I feel that it's not until now that really people is listening to indigenous people. Mm-hmm. Voice. Really listening to the voice of the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. I am happy that is something that is happening. I feel that it's the time. Probably the time has been always, but now is the time ever. Because I think indigenous people can help the world, to find their way to save the planet. Mm-hmm. And also to come back to the community level and the community way of living, because I think that is going to be the future, going back to community. Mm-hmm. And going back to the basics, and going back to the beauty in the basics. And I hear that, and I feel that the things that are happening here in Canada are the same things that happen everywhere. Like for me to discover that the companies, United States companies, Canadian companies, are doing the same thing here in Canada than in Guatemala, no? Then and they are doing it in Africa too. Then it's the power of the companies who really are looking for the resources, where the resources are, and they don't care what they destroy. They don't care what if that means to lose the water, or if that means to lose to contaminate anything, or if that means to lose food, whatever. I think they are looking for the resources and they don't care anything about it. Mm-hmm. That's why we talk about that we need to build an economy for life, and not to continue in the economy for the capital that it is now. Because the economy of the capital is destroying life everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I think in that, the global action is needed. In that, the global alliance are needed. And in that, the leading of the indigenous people is needed. Mm-hmm. And I feel that they are the ones who know how to, and we need to listen, and we need to find the way how to do it together.
So tomorrow is your last day. You're traveling tomorrow. You wrapped up the speaking tour. How do you feel that it went? What were some highlights for you?
Well, first of all, to come back 30 years later to this territory, it was very good for me to find people who I really wanted to meet again, to have more friends, to open doors, and to know that people continue in solidarity with Guatemala and wanted to know what's going on and are open to continue to work together is important. And to have I think on this trip I have more knowledge about Canada, and mm-hmm. I can understand a little bit more. And one highlights is the indigenous people. Mm-hmm. I learned history about it. I know the resistance here, and I know a little bit what's going on, and it's good to have also that experience. And I think Breaking the Silence and Network in the way that organized this tour, and other people who opened their houses and give us food and a room to sleep in, and thank you mainly for the human relationship.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to end with an excerpt from Sandra's recent performance of Quiero Creer, I Want to Believe, in Halifax, Nova Scotia. My name is Stacey Gomez. Thanks for listening.
Quiero creer en el amor como fuerza creadora, unificadora, esencial y viva. Aceptar, luchar y sobre todo ser. el tuyo y